Hello and welcome to the Grace of God Hour, brought to you by Minsky Ministries. This is Barry Minsky, and again, I'm just so pleased to be with you and to have this opportunity to share the Word of God with you. As I said yesterday, we're going to be looking at some important passages in the Word of God relating to salvation. Now, when I say that, I have to say also that every portion of the Word of God is important. There's no unimportant portion of God's Word. But some passages help us to understand His salvation work better than we would otherwise. We're going to look now at the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When I look at this passage in God's Word, I get very excited, because it tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ has done something very special by which God can give to me the wonderful gift of salvation. A couple things I think are important for us to look at. In the beginning of this chapter, it tells us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, when I read the word dead, I think of the many funerals I've attended and the many at which I've officiated. And I've looked down into the coffin and I've seen the dear person who has gone from us. And the one thing that has never happened is that that person would just sit up and say hello to me. Obviously, if you're dead, you cannot function physically. And so, when the Word of God tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins, the idea is that we were spiritually dead. We had no ability to do anything on our own of a spiritual nature that would enable us to receive God's salvation. And that's what he means in this passage when he says, "For by grace you have been saved." That word grace in the original language, charis, is a word that has the idea of unmerited favor. It's favor given to you that you don't deserve. As if you walked up to somebody, and of course I'm sure you wouldn't do this, but if you walked up to somebody and punched him in the mouth, and then he turned around and handed you a $20 bill and said, "I love you." The idea of grace is that you would be receiving something that you definitely do not deserve. God says that our salvation is by grace. He also says that by grace you have been saved. Now, this is very interesting. In the original language, the verb for save is sozo in Greek, and this is in the perfect tense. Now, we don't have anything to compare with the perfect tense in the English language. It's not the Greek perfect tense. The Greek perfect tense has the idea of something that happened in the past that has repercussions in the future. Something that happened in the past and continues on into the future. Now, in this case, it's talking about our salvation. And it says, you have been saved. Perfect tense. Oh, I could look at it and possibly paraphrase it something like this. For by God's unmerited favor, you have been saved, and that salvation continues throughout your life and on into eternity. That's basically what's being said here. for by grace you have been saved. Now then God goes on to talk about the means by which you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. Now this does not say that faith saves. We're saved by God's grace, but he uses a means, faith. And he enables us to exercise that faith so that we can receive the salvation of God. Now, we know that salvation is by grace through faith, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the idea of works. Because he goes on to say, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Well, first of all, we need to look at this word, this. What's it referring to? If we were reading it only in English, we would understand it to refer back to the word faith. It says, saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. Well, there's something in Greek that makes this impossible, and let me explain it to you. The Greek language has three genders, masculine, feminine, and neuter. And every single noun is either masculine, feminine, or neuter. And when we have a word like that or this, and it's referring back to something else, it must have the same gender. Now, let's take a look. The word grace is feminine. Charis, it's feminine. This has nothing to do with male and female genders. Every single noun in Greek is either masculine or feminine.
Or neuter.
Well, in this case, it's feminine. Well, let's take a look at the word faith. The word faith is also feminine. So you have grace and faith. These are the two nouns that we find in that first section. But when we get down to that word this, and this is not of your own doing, it is not masculine or feminine, it's neuter. It really can't refer back to grace, and it can't refer back to faith. The way I understand it is that God put it in the word just that way so that we would look at it and say, this refers to the whole concept of God's wonderful salvation. That nothing relating to salvation is of our own doing. It is all the gift of God. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing. You see, God has given to us the marvelous gift of every aspect of our salvation. He's given us our faith to believe. He's given us the blessings of being justified. He's given to us the opportunity of being sanctified. And we know that he has also given to us the wonderful blessing that will come, the blessing of our glorification. And wow, don't we all look forward to that? There are many verses in the Word of God that explain to us that salvation cannot be based on the works that we do. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sakes. Your believing or your faith is granted to you. And remember the story of Lydia when Paul was preaching the word of God. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And yes, that passage in Romans chapter 4, where it talks about the salvation of Abraham. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God, and his faith was counted as righteousness, not works. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Imagine you worked at a job for 40 hours and you're ready to get your paycheck, and the boss comes by and says, "Here's a check. I'm giving it to you because I think you're a pretty nice person. And, you know, just take it. It's a gift." Regardless of what you would say, I'm sure you would think, "Oh, no, that's no gift. I worked hard for that money." And so it is your due. It is what you deserve. But the passage goes on. "And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Well, the one who believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." What a wonderful passage in God's holy word. We're going to continue our study in this portion of Ephesians in our next lesson. I hope this has been a blessing to you, and I would love to hear from you. Please take a moment and send me an email. My email address is Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at Minsky Ministries, M-I-N-S-K-Y, ministries.org. And so, and until next time, when we meet together over God's word, may the Lord richly bless you.
His name is Jesus. He saved us from our sins.